This is Aiden Knight, and you are listening to Wrestle Life Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Wrestle Life Radio. This is episode 165. I am back as your host this week. No, I was not fired, as my cousin thought. He thought Matt fired me because I haven't been on in a month. And I'm joined by Micah. How's it going, Micah?
I'm doing good. And I'll be honest, if I didn't show up for my job for a month, I would be fired.
It's true. I would, probably would be the same way. But yes, I've been absent for a little while.
Yeah, you've been working your real job.
Yeah, I did switch jobs, but
one that pays you
pays me more. So we'll talk about a little bit. I'll get into it a little bit because life happens, and we are Wrestle Life Radio, so we talk about wrestling and life.
It's half the name.
It is half the name. So basically. Life happened. We had a death, not in our family, but in my girlfriend's family, which is, you know, very sad. So we attended to that. And then, like, right when we got back, my dog, who is 14 years old, had kidney failure and was not looking great. He's actually doing better now, but he's still got a long road to recovery. But just a lot happened at once. Just no fun. And so I just needed to take a break for a little while, but we're back. We're good. Everything's going great.
Glad
start a new job.
Doing better.
He's doing better. Yes. Yeah. So he's an old man, but he's still going along pretty good. So, but I'm back. Watched AEW. And honestly, like I had a break from everything for a while. Not just the show. Like I didn't watch WWE. I didn't even watch AEW. I just like took a break. So it was actually pretty nice. I kept up with everything, but
a good palate cleanse every once in a while was good.
It was, but we're back here, and I checked out the AEW show this week, and like I said, it's the first time I like sat down and watched a live show from start to end in a while too. So like, not the best show to come back to, if I'm being honest.
It had some really high points, but it wasn't overall a solid episode. I don't know. We'll talk about it.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I'm kind of there with you. Like it wasn't their best show, but we'll get into it and we'll describe a little bit about it. We did obviously have the tease going into it that Iron Mike Tyson was coming back tonight. So it was going to be interesting to see what happens there.
Pop those ratings against NXT TakeOver.
Yeah. Well, let me, now that we're talking about it, I didn't even pull up the final numbers. Do you have them on hand?
688 versus 734, I believe. NXT winning the overall, but AEW winning the demo.
AEW is down to 6?
Yeah, it was 688. Oof. Their lowest number in quite some time. However, it was NXT's like biggest show of the year. So
they've been actually improving. I think they beat them in the 18 to 49 demo 2 weeks ago, if I remember correctly.
I don't believe so. Maybe.
Or they were close.
Yeah, they got close. Really? But yeah, it was still a 0.28 versus a 0.22 in the demo.
They're arguably doing their best against AEW, and they're about to change nights.
Yeah, next week will be the first unopposed Wednesday night for AEW. We'll see what rating that does.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's an improvement for both.
Card, so. Yeah.
We will see. But we started off this show. It was nice to, like I said, I haven't watched wrestling in like a month. I sat down, cut on AEW, Hellboy was just wrapping up on TNT for those watching from TNT. And I just sat back and the show opens and I hear those, I guess the instrumental and the horses running and Hangman Page is the first man on the stage. And a big smile came across my face. I was like, yes.
Yes. Hangman's. That's how you know tonight's going to be good.
Yes. I actually like this match. It's Hangman Page versus Max Caster with Anthony Bowens to open the show.
It was a good rap too, right?
It was. We had Hangman making his entrance, then Caster came out, did his rap, and it was good. I liked it.
Yeah, I thought he put out a diss track on Hangman as well on his YouTube channel. It was pretty good too. Like, he's growing on me. I think he's definitely getting more confident.
Yeah,
but his raps are getting better, and I like them when they push the envelope a little bit, and I think that's kind of cool. They've given him the freedom to do that.
Yeah, and that's kind of what Cena did back in the day that helped him get over. He would make sexual innuendos and whatnot in his raps that were, you know, you know, for comedy and, and for what else. But yeah, that's kind of what got him over too. So yeah, I really enjoyed it. And, I was actually really liking this match. It was basically a Hangman showcase to start with. I mean, he was like, he did get distracted several times and, like kind of looks dumb babyface at some points, but it wasn't like too bad. And he really like was bouncing back from all the distractions and stuff and was pretty much looked like he was going to cruise to a victory. And then it just kind of turned and honestly, it just drug on towards the end. Like, I mean, way too many distractions. It was like, I heard somebody compare it to like Bullet Club level distraction, like from back in the day, like Japan matches where just constant distractions from Anthony Bowens on the outside. And it really just started taking away from it toward the end.
Yeah, Rick Knox is the worst referee in the history of sports.
Yes. I mean, like seriously, like five or six interferences that he missed.
Literally, they threw the boombox in the middle of the ring. And he just looked at it and was like, oh, I'm going to take that. Didn't throw out Bowens. It was ridiculous. Rick Knox is the worst. Yeah, just, pretty much. They should add the sound effect.
Or just like make the GIF with a little Metal Gear Solid question mark. And, you know.
It really is a problem, though, in AEW. Like, I know at this point you've kind of resigned ourselves. This is what it is. And we enjoy AEW, so we watch it. I know a lot of people who don't watch AEW because of the rules. I know a lot of people were watching like, this is too hectic. Nothing makes any sense. Why are they allowing this? Why are they allowing this? And like, everybody gets wrestling as a work now, right? But there needs to be some sort of structure. And there is no structure to AEW and their matches. It's ridiculous. And I don't know if it'll ever change. But I'm not going to quit harping on it just because we've gotten used to it.
Yeah, and I will say as well, one thing that I've was kind of a little bit jarring. I mean, I felt like, I don't know what it is, what the issue is, but, and there were like, so there's been several instances. I mean, obviously they had the big bomb set, you know, snafu that happened over the break and, all these things that happened like production wise, but honestly, even watching this show, like I just saw things that looked very low rent. And I did have the thought, at some point in the show that I was like, you know, WWE does have their faults, but from a production standpoint, they are pretty professional and things do come off as they plan most of the time. This felt closer to like old school Impact than like a WWE product as a whole, like with production issues they had and like just the way they did things on the show. I don't know. It just kind of, it's just, yeah, I don't know, but not a horrible show. I mean, booking is obviously better than Impact, but just from a production standpoint and then how they do things sometimes and like with the rules and the refs and all the things they miss, it comes off sloppy a lot of the times. So, and that was here in this match as well. But the important thing, Hangman goes over here, gets the buckshot lariat.
Yeah, after the improvised weapon, which is odd. I thought after they broke out the improvised weapon, the chain from Bowens, I thought that after they broke that out, they were going to give Hangman the loss because they wanted him to drop down the rankings a little bit to prolong him staying away from Kenny, right? But no, okay. He went over, which makes him look really strong, which is great because Hangman's the best. But is that really a smart move? I don't know. We'll see.
I would have rathered this match been cut in half, like time-wise. They would have had one interference spot. The chain got used. It let Caster get a little bit back on him, but then Hangman just prevailed in the end. Because I was really digging this match when Hangman was just like dominant.
They could have delayed the pin or something too to make it look better.
Yeah, so it went on a little longer than it should. Wasn't horrible, but could have been better. So, but Hangman picks up the win with a buckshot lariat. So yeah, fine, but could have been better. Then we had Tony Schiavone bringing out the Death Triangle for an interview. Announced that Pac and Rey Fénix will get their tag team title shot match next week against the Young Bucks. A theme that happened in just about every interview segment on the show. It got interrupted.
It's every interview segment ever.
It's true. But there was one on the show that didn't get interrupted, and we'll talk about that. shortly. But yes, this one got interrupted as well. It must be Tony. Whenever he does things, people just tend to interrupt. But
he doesn't demand a good presence, I guess.
Yes, the best friends come out with Orange Cassidy and Chris Statlander. So I guess she's part of their group now.
The aliens sit with us, they say.
Yes, so Orange comes out. He basically cuts a monotone promo, says we don't forget or something. And then, like, I wasn't even sure if he was finished or not. And then just, like, behind him, a video package starts playing. This is one of the moments where I was like, this probably could have been done a little better. Like, he's just standing there and, like, the screen's playing. And, like, the announcers have to tell us. Like, I wish they could have just done this backstage and, like, interrupted him and then edited in the videos to, like, make it a little smoother. But it's whatever. But it basically reminded us that Death Triangle, when they were the heels a couple months ago and they were like destroying the best friends, they like just beat up on poor Orange Cassidy and the other best friends. And so they said, we don't forget whenever you guys, if you win the tag belts or don't win them, we want the next shot against the AEW World Champions. And that was it. Death Triangle didn't really get to cut much of a promo. They basically cut one on, the best friends and Orange Cassidy, but that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I agree.
So, they got interrupted. So we don't even know what they originally were going to say. But they did say next week, Death Triangle versus Young Bucks, which should be an awesome match at least.
Yeah, I'm for sure going to love that one.
We then got a video of Mike Tyson talking to Urban Meyer, of all people.
Yeah, how weird was that?
To potential criminals.
Hey, yeah.
But we won't go into that. Then we had Chris Jericho in the Inner Circle coming out to cut their promos. I'm going to be honest. I like parts of this, but I didn't love it.
No, wrong. You're wrong.
I'm just not a fan of the whole breaking the fourth wall and like talking about the marks and I'm just not a fan of it. And it was several bits of it here. And also, like, Chris Jericho was Jericho, but then he was, like, playing to the fans in, like, a corny way. Like, I don't know. Like, just wasn't a big fan of it. Like, it had its – I mean, listen, I popped when he called MJF the my jerk-off friend. When he said, what's his name? Wardlow had to strip naked to count to 21. Listen, I laughed. It was hilarious. Jericho's Jericho. He's always going to get over and get something over. So it wasn't bad by any means. And listen, we got our blood and guts match. Basically, they run down, the last several months. They made some mistakes and Jericho actually apologized for it. A guy who went from not being able to say, he couldn't say sorry, but he did come out and apologize for all his bad mistakes and admitted that MJF outsmarted him. But they basically ran down that, how they're going to destroy these guys and booked the blood and guts match happening May 5th. But, Micah, you can talk to it since you're more of a fan of it, but
yeah,
it wasn't bad. I'm not saying it was bad, but to me, it went on a little long and it wasn't perfect for me, but you can talk more about it and to why you think I am wrong.
Yes, so first of all, I'm so glad they're keeping the Inner Circle together. I'm so glad they're turning the babyface.
They did have an awesome entrance. Them coming out on all the sports cars and everything was pretty cool.
Yeah, Jericho had like a Lamborghini and they all had like an F-250, a Range Rover, like different cars and stuff. They had like sport bikes circling them. It was really cool. So I think that this is one of the best promos from AEW to date. Really, the only other one that I can think of is the early Chris Jericho Inner Circle segment, which was great. And then the Cody before the Jericho match, where he went from undesirable to undeniable. That was a really good promo. I love this promo. I thought it was a great babyface turn promo because it's exactly what it was. They came out, they hyped up the crowd, he played to the crowd. And I think this promo reminded everyone of how cool Jericho can be, because as a heel this whole time he's been kind of corny and comedic and he's been kind of the butt of a lot of jokes, and I think Jericho's super glad to be able to come out and be cool again. one of the reasons that he left WWE is because he never was able to win the title as a babyface. He never was able to main event as a babyface. He was tired of being a heel. He thought he did everything he could do. He wanted to move somewhere else. And now he gets to be a babyface again. I think he's loving it. I think the Inner Circle is going to love it. I think Jake Hager in this segment was great because he was like in the background, like making faces, hyping Jericho up.
Yeah,
man, he rambled on for like 6 minutes, but it was all so good. He did flub up with Wardlow saying that he had like a 13-cent body and a $3,000 brain or something, but he got it backwards. But I mean, I can't fault him for it. He went right past it. I couldn't go out there and speak for 6 minutes and cut a promo. I mean, I don't know many people that could, like, unscripted. It was very enjoyable. I'm really looking forward to see them as a babyface group. I'm really looking forward to see the Blood and Guts match. I loved it. I thought it was great. I thought it was the highlight of the show for sure. So definitely a differing opinion of that promo.
Yeah. Like I said, I wasn't a fan of like the, you know, him calling MJF a mark and like even talking about the Sean Spears calling me after he got fired and all that. Like I just didn't like that kind of stuff. And it felt long to me. But one thing that I look back on and like, I think they could have gone the same length and cut Jericho down a little bit. I think he should have let everybody else talk a little bit. We didn't get to hear from Sammy.
I think we'll get to hear them talk. I don't think the time is yet. I think they needed to do this to establish them as a babyface group. And then from here on, we'll get to see a little bit more talking. So,
yeah, I mean, listen, I did enjoy it. I didn't think it was a bad promo at all, but don't think it was a highlight of the show, but hey, that's why we're both here. So we can have multiple opinions. And I am looking forward to the feud. I mean, I did think the beatdown, I did see that from last week. I thought that was awesome. So looking forward to the match for sure.
I do love how you pointed out how you can't tell the FTR apart.
Yes, it's very true, especially with their name change. I would probably have to think and figure out what their name was. So, speaking of, this was actually, I believe, maybe the only interview of the night that wasn't interrupted, because then we had another interview from Christian Cage, which, guess what, got interrupted. He did get a little bit of time to talk. He actually put over Frank Kazarian, admitted that, you know, he scratched and clawed after 7 years to get back to this point. He loved the match, but he admitted that Kazarian took him into deep waters. He was, you know, breathing heavy. He was struggling towards the end, but he loved every bit of it. But then before he could finish, got interrupted by Taz, who tends to do this type of thing. And Taz walks in. He tells him, you know, talked about the history together and said, you know, we love that you're back and we're going to offer you a spot in Team Taz. You don't have to respond now. Sleep on it, but let me know later. Taz has extended an offer to Christian to join Team Taz. So, well, here's and see what Christian thinks.
Yeah, I'm really sick of people interrupting interviews.
Yeah,
like, it's a problem.
It happened several times on the show, so it was a theme. Other than Jericho, so then we got the Godzilla versus Kong match. I did like the graphic that they did of the, you know, thing, but it was
brilliant branding though, right?
Yeah, it was like, a co-branding match.
I think this is great that they could integrate this in such a way, and I think it was a really cool way to do it.
Yeah. The match wasn't bad. It was, as JR put it, bowling shoe ugly at some points.
It was. It wasn't great. It wasn't a great match. Like I told Matthew, like, to be a match full of so many botches, it was still entertaining somehow. Because I think Bear Country is very entertaining, and obviously Jurassic Express is very entertaining. But, like, there were definitely some questionable moves, some questionable calls in this match, for sure. The one that stands out to me was one of the Bears. I don't know their names. Both of their names are Bear. Like, how dumb is that?
Bear Bronson and Bear Boulder.
Yeah, whatever. One of them is holding Jungle Boy, and then Luchasaurus goes to do a crossbody, and he's going to attempt to catch Luchasaurus out of midair, and it doesn't work because Luchasaurus is a giant man. Why wouldn't you hold Luchasaurus and catch Jungle Boy? That seems like the much easier way to do it. I don't know. I'm not a wrestler, but like, I couldn't do either one. But
I will say they played it off pretty well.
They did play it off, but I definitely was like, oh, something was supposed to happen there.
Because it was still kind of impressive that he got crossbody by Luchasaurus essentially, and then still, you know, was remained standing.
Just didn't sell it at all. Yeah.
Yeah. So, which is how commentary put it over. So it kind of worked. It wasn't, it was like a botch, but I think it could buy the average fan. It's to me, it was clear that, listen, Jungle Boy is great. Luchasaurus, you know, obviously best utilized in short spurts, which is why they work well as a team. Bear Country is creative with their moveset. I like them as a team. They need to evolve their look a little bit. They did kind of look just like big dudes at some points. I think, you know, growing out their hair and just like, you know, just becoming more like Bear as much as they can, you know, would be, you know, the way to go. But it was apparent in this match that they're still very green. So they need some more ring time. Their time will come. I think they could be a really entertaining and awesome tag team down the road, but they need a little bit more work, and it was apparent in this match. So, but still good. Wasn't a bad match, but was sloppy at points. Jurassic Express, picked up the win here. I think it was good for what it was, but yeah, definitely sloppy in some points. I think, you know, put this to rest, let, you know, the bears go and, do some more like AEW Darks, have another, you know, sub feud, you know, for, you know, on the show, and in a year or two, come back and, you know, let these guys go at it again. And I think it'll be a much better match.
Yeah, but I agree.
Not bad. Then we had a QT Marshall video package, flanked by his new group, who is Aaron Solo, Anthony Ogogo, and who's the other guy? Nick Camarado, isn't that his name?
Camarado. They're called The Factory.
Yes. They are in the Nightmare Factory cutting this promo, and QT basically talked about how these guys, you know, were left for dead under Cody, but he knew that that these guys were something. He ragged on Cody as well for saying that called him a knockoff Sting, said that he knew that he wasn't going to be a star in WWE. He you know, talked about him being Ted Jr.'s lackey. He wore face paint and was in his brother's shadow. You know, he got out, but knew he wasn't going to be a superstar there. So he went to the Indies and, you know, basically got over vanilla midgets. And
I was really surprised to hear him say midget on TV.
Yeah. So he basically said all the, you know, the trendy words of like, you know, the indie scene guys, and basically just ragged on Cody the entire time, but basically said that he's the reason, you know, these guys that are in his group are successful. He's the, you know, reason behind the success of the Nightmare Factory. Said it's his factory. He got Nick Camarado to throw some paint on the wall, basically covering the logo. And they called themselves The Factory, as you said. So, he's got a new group.
Anthony Ogogo cut a little bit of a promo, too.
Oh, yeah, he did. And listen, good promo.
Really good promo. I think he's got superstar potential as long as he can actually wrestle.
Definitely does. So much like, you know, Jade Cargill, who has the look, I think this guy has it. So we will see if he, you know, how he does in the ring. But yeah, I'm right there with you. He cut a really good promo as well. And he's making his debut next week, right?
Yeah, he's got his in-ring debut against some jobber, I assume. And QT also tweeted out, so they covered up the Nightmare Factory logo in the Nightmare Factory and just made it the new logo, which is just The Factory. And he tweeted out and said, keep that crap off of my walls. Keep that crap on your neck, not on my walls, which is great.
Yep. So, it was a nice little segment. I two thumbs up for me. I thought it was really good. Well, very well done. I didn't think I would be in the QT Marshall, but I was for this feud. I will say though, and I've mentioned this before, about possibly doing a round table. Cause man, AEW hopefully it gets better after this pandemic, but they have so many groups right now. And I think it's too many, but so we got another group here. So yeah, we'll see what they do with The Factory.
I thought the promo was really good by QT, and I think it's smart to break up the Nightmare Factory. And honestly, this has me excited for a Cody storyline. So, hey,
sure. Yeah. No, I'm for it. Good promo and good, I mean, they showed like video packages stuff too, and I thought it was all well done. So two thumbs up for me. We then had a Sting promo. They actually teased us on the show, and I rolled my eyes when they said Tony Schiavone interviewing Sting was on later in the show. To nobody's surprise, he was immediately interrupted by Jake Roberts, who is about to lose his voice completely, I think. I could barely understand him, which was a shame. Lance Archer then came out. And this is one thing that I've seen since I've been, you know, I've had like a month or so away. I was such a Lance Archer fan, you know, when he was in the main events. I really hate that he'd gone back to the heel turn with like him and Jake. I'm just not a fan of it. I liked him when he was just like the dude that came out and murdered people. And he's coming out here and now he's just a whiner talking about, I was in the main events and now I'm not. Why not? I deserve to be in the main event. And Sting basically takes the microphone and says, I agree with you. You should be in the main event, but do something about it. Channel that energy and do something about it. Archer got angry and stormed off.
Yeah, he was basically like berating Jake, like, hey, do something with your guy. Tell him how to do it. I mean, you know how to do it. You were there for years.
And what I saw in the last couple of weeks was Lance Archer was in the main event and doing it on his own. So
yeah, it's also true.
Yeah, I don't get this. Not a fan of this way they're doing Archer. Like it comes off to me such like a Dolph Ziggler when, you know, he people liked him, but then they made his character into I'm gonna come out and whine about the same thing they're doing with like Peyton Royce now. They come out there, they whine about not being in the spot they deserve, and then they like lose. Like I don't know, I'm just not a fan of it.
What are they gonna do with this too? Like, are they gonna do Archer versus Darby again? Or are they going to do Sting versus Archer? Because I don't think Sting versus Archer would be a very good match.
No. And yeah, I'm afraid Archer might kill him. it was bad enough that, you know, he had to go up against Brian Cage. But yeah, him against Archer. Yeah, I have no idea either. So I'm assuming it's going to be Darby. But who knows at this point. Right now, Darby's just taking on Jobber. So who knows?
Hey, that was a dang good match.
So after this, we had Team Taz. I'm surprised Taz didn't come out and interrupt Sting again. But we had Ricky Starks, you know, cutting a promo.
Starks actually interrupted Taz.
It's true.
So there was an interruption in the segment.
Said that he wanted to hear from Brian Cage. But then Taz interrupted again and said, stop instigating things. They talked about Christian Cage. It wasn't much of anything.
Just a devolving of the relationship between Team Taz, basically.
Right, which, whatever. I mean, I like Team Taz, so I don't know why, like, it has to be this way, but whatever. So, I guess they're teasing a dissension or something, but we'll see. But I guess, I'm guessing they're just going to all feud with Christian now. Christian's the new Darby. So, and speaking of Darby, after this we had the TNT Championship match. Tell me what you think about this, because I feel like we might have differing opinions.
So I thought this was a great match and way overperformed what I expect. I think it's the best match in the card. I really do. I think JD Drake really gave it his all, and I don't think they gave him any benefits in this match, but I feel like he took the opportunity and really ran with it. They had a really cool, he had a really good promo on Road to Dynamite that unfortunately they did not air. I would have liked to seen that. Darby also cut a really good promo. JD Drake, he really came off, I mean, obviously he's a bigger guy, right? He's Southern, so obviously the comparison is Dusty Rhodes. But he really came off like that everyman coming in and actually fighting for his chance. And I think he did really good. Darby did fantastic selling for him as well. That definitely helped. Darby has some of the most realistic looking dives. And can be, most of the time it's because he's actually getting hurt, right? Because he's not afraid to get hurt.
He is really diving.
Yeah.
Like he is a torpedo.
That definitely helps. But no, I really liked this match. I thought it really cemented JD Drake as somebody who I think has a chance of being at the bottom of the card for a little while. I mean, it's a shame to say somebody has a chance of being at the bottom of the card, but I think he's earned a spot somewhere on dark elevation, wherever. Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was a good match. I would have preferred without Rolf Wiggler and what Cesar Bononi out there.
But, yeah.
You know, you did get to see Sting essentially chase out Dolph Ziggler. So
yeah,
that was a highlight.
So here, so in a vacuum, I agree with you. I thought this was a pretty good match with a lot of cool stuff in it. Darby was just like selling like crazy. This big dude was just throwing this little man around, and he had to find a way to fight through and pick up the win in the end. But my problem with it, I do not know this JD Drake guy. Like I said, I've taken a break for a month, haven't watched wrestling, haven't seen him on Dark, haven't seen anything about him. I just knew he was getting a shot at in this match. And I was like, okay, well, like I read up a little bit about him, saw that he was on Dark and, you know, had, you know, done some decent things. I was like, fine, I'll give it a chance. But this was my first time seeing this guy. So Darby comes out. He's got the belt with him. He's got Sting. And then this guy doesn't even get an entrance. He's like the jobber. He looks like a jobber. He's just like a fat guy. Doesn't look like much. And
he had new.
I agree with you.
Pretty good.
I agree with you. He looked like a guy who has a chance to stay on the bottom of the card to me. So
that's fine. There's a lot of, I mean, that's a spot that needs to be filled.
Sure. But my problem was Darby starts the match and like, he's a champion, the TNT champion, representing the entire TNT organization. And, you know, he's their guy. And he, like, gets beat up and thrown on the outside. Has to, like, he bails on the outside like a heel would do. And, it, like, has to invite JD Drake to come chase him to the outside. And then this moron actually does it. And then Darby slides in the ring and runs from him. And then like tackles him on the inside, which is just like a heel move. And then like just gets destroyed the rest of the match. Like I said, there's parts of this I get, and that could have been a, like a really good match with another, like if this would have been like Lance Archer or somebody else that was like a big guy with like, that was a name, I think it would have been really good. And there were parts of it that were good, but just JD Drake being nobody and then Darby having to sell for this guy just didn't do it for me.
Yeah, I liked it.
I mean, it wasn't a bad match, but I just couldn't get into it because I'm like, it's JD Drake. I don't know this guy. He's just kind of like a guy, and he's like beating the crap out of Darby.
I mean, to be fair, we didn't know Eddie Kingston when he came in. We didn't know Ricky Starks when he came in.
But Eddie had a little bit of a history. You could at least believe it. Like, he had like the veteran, like, You could buy that this guy was a veteran and he could like, you know, one up on somebody. Like, I just didn't know this JD Drake guy and I just couldn't get into it. Maybe it's just me. Listen, I will throw my hands up and say, I'm not saying you're wrong for disagreeing with me. I just like couldn't get into it. It was a fine match. They did some cool stuff. And I think in a vacuum, it could have been really, you know, great. But like, I just couldn't get into it for that reason. So, yeah. Just went into it.
It's okay to be wrong. That's fine.
I'm totally fine with it if you enjoyed this match. I just couldn't get into it. So it is what it is. And listen, if a year from now, if JD Drake has like a character and he's like a big guy and they had this match again and they had the same exact match, I'd probably like a whole lot more. So I can't blame you. So, but Darby, like I said, he's able to fight back. He, you know, goes crazy. He does make a big comeback. He hits an avalanche code red, the coffin drop, and picks up the win here. So Darby picks up the win. And I mean, listen, it's not a bad thing for JD Drake here. It looked good for him. I didn't think it looked good for Darby in the end, even though he won, but he got beat up by this guy the whole match. It is what it is. But after the match, we did have Butcher and Blade attack Darby. Basically, Matt Hardy's whole crew came out to attack him. So they did say Matt Hardy is going to go up against Darby next week. So yeah, I think, you know, that's got a chance to be a good match as well. Sting came back out. The Dark Order came out. We had a big brawl. Tay Conti and Bunny came out as well. And they fought again ahead of their match. So yeah, had a big brawl to end it. So, you know, we got a direction to go in. So it was okay, in my opinion. Micah thinks it was great.
We're getting Darby versus Matt next week, I believe.
Yeah, and I think that could be a good match as well. Good. So, yeah.
I really hope Matt Hardy doesn't get hurt.
It's very true. Something to look forward to next week for sure. We also got a video package recapping the storyline of Kenny Omega, the Good Brothers, Moxley, and the Young Bucks. Then we had Jericho being interviewed by Alex Marvez, but he was almost immediately interrupted. He did get one interview interrupted earlier on the show, but we basically got him attacked by the Pinnacle. They take him out of the ring, beat the crap out of him. They're all ganging up on him. The announcers are pointing out, where's the Inner Circle? Why aren't they helping him? Which was, you know, paid off by showing in a little bit of a corny way with a guy like waving the cameraman to like, oh, they're back here. And then we see a door that's locked. So the heels have trapped the babyface in the locker room. Somehow Jericho has been separated from them. So they are locked away and they're basically all ganging up on Jericho. But then it's just before Jericho's, you know, about to be killed, Mike Tyson comes out and makes the save. He starts pelting Sean Spears with strikes. He rips his shirt off, looks good for his age. Inner Circle, they break out of the locker room, are able to come out. A big brawl ensues. And so in the end, we have Mike Tyson making the save for Jericho. He and Jericho shake hands. They bury the hatchet in their feud. And it sets up, what is it, next week we're going to have? Who is Jericho and...
Jericho versus Dax.
One of the Pinnacle. One of the two that we can't...
The bald FTR men.
Yes.
And Mike Tyson's going to be the special enforcer.
Which is kind of unfair, but whatever.
Yeah, it doesn't make much sense, does it?
Yeah, he's going to be... obviously, he came out and beat up the other guy. So, but it is what it is. So,
special enforcer actually do?
He enforces.
I mean...
You make sure the referee doesn't miss things like they've been doing, I guess.
So basically, he's just going to threaten the referee to actually do his job. That'd be great. I think he should be there for all the matches.
Sure. I agree. It'd be pretty nice. Hopefully. Now, I think they just wanted to give him something to do so he's not falling asleep at ringside this time.
Yeah, it's possible.
So, next week we get Jericho and Dax Harwood, I think.
Yeah, because it's Dax the Axe.
Yes. So, with Mike Tyson as the special enforcer. Then after this, we got Britt Baker and Rebel interviewed by Tony Schiavone. Actually, didn't get interrupted, surprisingly. She demanded a championship match, but Tony Schiavone says, well, hey, you're only ranked number 4. She said, listen, wins and losses don't matter. It's all about your draw and who's the most popular, which is me, so I should get a title shot. No arguments for me.
I mean, this was a great heel promo, right?
Yeah, it definitely was. But
like anybody in a combat sport suggests that they should get a title shot because they sell the most t-shirts. Like, that's great.
Hey, it's how UFC works. It's so why true. Not? They have like number 4 going to be as number 1 or the champion all the time. So I think Britt Baker could pull this one off.
Yeah, she said she's going to fight her way to the top, though, basically, with Elevation and Dark and all that. I really think that they're going to lead to Britt Baker versus Tay Conti, which I think will be a very good match. And then yep. Double or Nothing, Sheeta versus Britt Baker, which I'm all about.
Sure. I'd be fine with that. Although they have been teasing Tay and... Tay Conti and Sheeta, they've kind of been a team. So I don't know if, of course, I guess that would be a good way to get Britt into there for her to attack Conti or something and have like a short feud. So yeah, I could see that. And But speaking of which, we did have after this Tay Conti versus the Bunny. Like, and as I said, Shida, she was at ringside. She's kind of been buddy buddy with Tay. And the Dark Order were also, you know, backing Tay with the Bunny, had the Hardy family out there. So this was okay. I think Tay is obviously much improved from her WWE NXT days, which says something that she's only been at the Nightmare Factory for like, what, a year? If that. She's like miles ahead of where she was in NXT, and she was there for like 4 years.
Yeah, if that, for sure.
So yeah, she is much improved. It was good for what it was. I thought it was fine. Tay picked up the win here with the DD Tay. Yeah, it was what it needed to be. I would have not liked to have seen her lose clean to the Bunny last week, but it led to this where she got her revenge, so it was fine.
She didn't lose clean. She lost with after a kendo stick.
That's true. Yeah, kendo stick, but...
I would have preferred she didn't lose at all, though. I agree.
True, yeah. So, but it was fine. It was what we thought it would be. And Shida, you know, aided Tay to stop the Bunny from, you know, cheating here. And like I said, picked up the win. So it was a fine match. And like you said, could lead to either Conti versus Shida or Britt getting the mix against Tay, which I would be totally fine for.
Yeah, I'm not sure how a face versus face Shida versus Conti would go, but I'm sure it would be good.
Yeah, and I think I might have missed this at some point. We did get a package for Jade Cargill versus Red Velvet next week, yes. Which was horrible because Red Velvet's her whole promo was, yeah, Jade, you beat me last week, but it took everything you had. So we're going to have a one-on-one match and you better bring everything you got this time.
Yeah, it wasn't a good premise.
It wasn't very convincing. So I'm pretty positive Jade's going to beat her in. So, yeah, but sure. It was fine. It was a little video package. It was what it was. So yeah, they're going to go against each other next week as well in a one-on-one match. So we'll see what happens there. And then we had our main event of the night, Kenny Omega and the Good Brothers versus John Moxley and the Young Bucks. I like this match for the most part, but I wasn't into the end of it. I don't know. What do you think, Micah?
Sorry, I couldn't get myself unmuted. I don't really know how to think, because I'm a person who has really followed everything Young Bucks for quite some time now. I know all the history from New Japan. I've watched most of the BTEs. I feel like most people don't get this, and most people probably don't like it. And I'm kind of on the fence of not liking it. But it was plain to see, if you watch BTE this week and last week, that this is going to end up the way that it ended up, right? But I don't like how they played it out through the match. I really don't. I hated how they basically Matt Jackson and Nick Jackson played two different parts. Like Matt was like emotional and didn't want to hurt Kenny, even though they just had a match like a year ago at Revolution where they were being just bloodthirsty. He was like scared to super kick them, even though they literally super kick everybody, including Alex Marvez not too long ago.
Innocent bystanders.
Yeah, innocent bystanders. They didn't want to do the BTE trigger. Nick was basically ready to go. He was ready to kick Kenny. He was all in for it. To talk about the actual match a little bit, I think the actual match was less than great in my opinion. I don't like the Good Brothers. I don't think they're that good of wrestlers. I think Carl Anderson's pretty good. I think Luke Gallows is borderline bad. I think he's got like four moves, and I don't enjoy his character at all. So I'm just he's got go-away heat for me at this point, to be honest with you. Carl Anderson, I think, is pretty good. He's got a great spine buster, which he did in this match. I think this match made Kenny Omega look very weak, which is dumb. Mm-hmm. I understand he's your heel champion, but I think it's bad. I don't like the way they've handled the Young Bucks since they went up against FTR for the titles. I am hoping that it's over with. I'm hoping after this match, they fully turn. So to just go ahead and say everything that happened, the end of the match, Nick has set up Kenny for the BTE trigger. Matt is being emotional, saying, no, he can't do it, blah, 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 which is stupid. It's a combat sport. You signed up for the match. What did you think was going to happen? He's like freaking Cody Rhodes over here. I'm not going to use my finisher on my friend. Stupid. Anyways, then Matt, he gets Matt set up for it. And he's like, okay, I'm going to do it. And then he backs out and doesn't do it. And then Moxley's like, what the heck? You're being ridiculous. This is a combat sport. We need to win. What are you doing, you idiots? He tags himself in. He hits Kenny with a paradigm shift. He locks him in for the rear naked choke. He decides, you know what? That's not enough. I'm going to hit him with a paradigm shift again. Moxley shoves Nick around a little bit, which I guess is all he needed to have a heel turn. And then Nick is like, oh, you know what? No, you can't shove me. I'm going to super kick you. And they both super kick Moxley. And Matt is like all conflicted about it. I don't know. Like, the more I think about it, the more I don't like this. Right? It's too many turns, too much. Like, there's no clear direction where they're going. But they did go further. Right? If it would have stopped here, I would have hated it. Right? Because I'm so sick of tweener Young Bucks. Go heel or go home. That's the way I feel about it right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Good Brothers come in and they're like, oh yeah, they're on our side, blah, blah, blah. And they set Moxley up for another super kick. And Matt and Nick are like, no, no, we can't do it. You know what? Screw it. Let's super kick him. They super kick him again. And they drag Kenny's dead carcass over on top of Moxley, getting the pin for the win. And now it appears as if the Young Bucks are totally heel. If they're totally heel now and this is over with, I think this is great. But if they're going to keep drawing this crap out, this is terrible. I really hate how this has dominated the main event scene for so long. I feel like it's really stifled AEW, in my opinion. I'm not super into the Impact crossover. I'm not super into the Super Elite storyline going on. They need to do something. They need to take the titles off of either Kenny Omega or the Young Bucks at this point, because they need to have an actual main event storyline going on. In my opinion, right now, the main event storyline is the Pinnacle versus the Inner Circle, because I feel like most casual fans especially probably aren't enjoying this. I'm not really enjoying it. And I've watched all of the stuff. I understand all of the little niche things, but I don't know. I kind of like, at this point, I just want Moxley and Kingston to take the belts off the Young Bucks and have them be just total heels with Kenny and start actually doing something. This is drawn on for way too long. This should have ended whenever they threw up the two sweet 2 months ago.
Yeah. I'm actually really happy that you said all that, because I was worried that, you know, you were going to be an AEW mark, and no, I'm right there with you. It's, for all the people who talk about, I mean, there's a lot of Young Bucks haters who say, like, oh, they just do like high spots, don't have psychology. They've proven they could do psychology. They've proven they could have really good matches with really good psychology. This was the wrong type of psychology and just not done well at all. It, like, I haven't seen BT the last couple of weeks. I don't know, you know, what they've been doing on there. So I, you know, they could, but like I said, if something important to the story has happened on BT, it needs to be shown on TV, or they at least need to replicate it like they did with, you know, the Young Bucks parents and all that stuff. You know, when they came and saw them, you know, on the truck for the first time, and then, you know, MJF and Jericho like killed his dad or whatever. So I'm right there with you. Like, Moxley, I feel like, is lesser since he's lost the belt, which is, you don't want to have to happen. If he goes away from the belt scene for a while, have him work with somebody else and put on a good program. I feel like he's still stuck with Kenny here, and it's been very unsuccessful for him. I agree with you. This match didn't like make Kenny look good. I get he's a heel, but like, still, like, he's
they keep supposed putting to be him over the top guy, best wrestler in the world, blah, blah, blah. And this match made him look terrible.
And he was like a rag doll for the Young Bucks. And like, yeah, so just didn't look good. The Good Brothers, like I said, weren't very good here either. I mean, the match, I guess, in a vacuum was okay at some points, but then, like, when you think about it, like, Matt, you said, is apprehensive the entire time of hurting Kenny. But at one point, Kenny, like, he turned his back on him and Kenny went to go attack him. It's like, okay, well, the dude's clearly not on the same page. Like, he's clearly willing to hurt Matt. So why can't Matt suck it up for one match? And if Kenny wants to try to talk him out of it after the match and say, like, no, I wasn't going to, you know, fine. But no, he in the same match, proved that he was going to attack him from behind. And Matt still, like, after the fact, he hit him with a pile driver. So he drove the dude's head into the mat, which, if you don't want to hurt the guy, that's one way, you know, like, the wrong way to go about it. And then after that, like, still didn't want to hurt him. I was like, it just, like, took me out of the match. Him just, like, stopping multiple times to think about it and stuff. And, like, especially after he did it multiple times after, like I said, Kenny was going to attack him from behind. And I was all on Moxley's side at the end where he's like, what are you idiots doing? Like, we're in a match. Like, kill this guy. He's, like, a jerk. He's going to – I know you've had a relationship with him, but, like, he clearly doesn't feel the same way about you. So, like, I was full on Moxley's side when he got in there and started killing this man. Like, I was on his side completely. So if they're trying to get over Moxley and have the rest of the guys go heel, great. Because that's how I felt afterwards. Just the psychology of this match was just completely – well, yeah, just going the wrong direction, in my opinion. Just not an effective main event. I'm right there with you. I hope this is full blown heel turn, so they could be heels next week against the Death Triangle, who I think are awesome, and I kind of want to cheer for against Young Bucks at this point. Either go heel or go home. I completely agree. It is what it is. Basically, like you said, after the match, Good Brothers killed Moxley. Eddie Kingston came out to make the save. They beat him up. And then we got, you know, the supposed club reuniting again. So I hope it's for good this time. And that's what ended the show. So, yeah, it wasn't my favorite AEW show they've put on. Obviously, it wasn't. It didn't do well in the ratings either. So, yeah. I want to see better out of AEW. I think they've been a little sloppy lately. I think they could be better. I think the booking could be better. They need to tighten this thing up. Hopefully we're coming out of this pandemic and they can cut some of the fat, as you said before, Micah, and I kind of agree with you. And they tighten this ship up a little bit because I think it needs to be a little bit better. And I think once they do that, it'll start, you know, hopefully turning the ratings around, and without the competition on Wednesday nights could be better as well. So I think they could do better. If I had to give the show a grade, honestly, in my opinion, it had some good spots, but could be better. I got to give it a C+.
C+. Okay. That's definitely lower than I would give it.
Just because I've seen better from them, you know, like it's, I agree.
But I really like that Jericho promo, man. And I really like the JD Drake Darby Allin match. So maybe that's where the difference comes in.
Yeah, I think so.
I thought this definitely wasn't their best show. I thought it had some really good promo work, and it had some good building to future storylines, but not super into all of it. I think I'd probably give it a B-, which I guess isn't too far off from what you gave it. But it just feels a lot different. I think I'd give it a B- overall, though.
Yeah. I totally agree.
Not enjoy it. I still enjoyed it. It just wasn't great.
Yeah, it was. If I had gone back to Raw or SmackDown, and, you know, after not watching a month of wrestling, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, I would be like, yeah, this is why I went away for a month and didn't miss it. You know, that type of thing. But coming back and, like, looking forward to AEW. And it kind of not being their best show might have soured it a little bit for me. And maybe that's why I came back and wanted something A+, and it wasn't quite there. So maybe that kind of was played into it as well. I'm going to be optimistic next week. I'm kind of, you know, getting back into it. So maybe I just needed to shake off a little bit of the ring rust. And so next week, you know, they've got a pretty good lineup. I'll go over it again just in case. We got Darby Allin versus Matt Hardy next week for the TNT Championship in a Falls Count Anywhere match. Young Bucks versus Pac and Rey Fénix, because I don't see how that could be bad. So should be a good match. Anthony Ogogo is making his debut. We got Jade Cargill and Red Velvet. Jericho and Dax Harwood. I feel like there's something else that is on the card as well, but I don't know. But yeah, I mean, it seems like a pretty good card. So, and maybe something comes out of the event they're having. When are they having? Is it Friday?
Yeah, the House Always Wins is Friday. Yeah.
Okay. Which is today, if you're listening to the podcast today, we recorded the night before. Yeah, but I'm looking forward to next week. I think it could be a better show for sure. So yeah, that's what we thought about this week. Mike, I appreciate you for joining me again. Appreciate everybody for listening. Yeah, like I said, episode 165, we're getting ever closer to episode 200. So we appreciate you guys for listening. And we're keep growing as a podcast. And we thank you guys who stuck around, and we'll be back next week for sure. You can follow us on social media if you don't already, at Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. Twitter, Wrestle Life Pod, Facebook and Instagram at Wrestle Life Radio. Matt is on Instagram and Facebook at Wrestle Life Matt. No, Instagram and Twitter, right?
Yes.
Yes, at Wrestle Life Matt. I'm on Instagram at Kyle.Polly, and chime in on Facebook as well. And Micah will chime in once in a while on Facebook. And you can listen to us on any podcast platform you want, obviously, if you're listening here. So, yeah, we just appreciate you guys for hanging out. We love you guys commenting on everything and, you know, chatting. I saw the chat on Facebook blowing up with comments this week on several different things. So keep doing it. And, hey, listen, if you thought the show was good, if you disagree with us, if you lean towards me and thought it was a C, if you thought, you know, lean towards Micah thinking it was a B+, let us know what you thought in the comments. We love hearing from you guys. So we appreciate you guys. Love you sticking around for us, and hope to see you guys back next week. And we will be back with another episode same time next week. Appreciate you guys for listening.
And our WrestleMania review show, I believe.
That's right. How could I forget? Yes, WrestleMania weekend. So we got a review coming out on ahead of WrestleMania, because we got night one on Saturday, night two on Sunday. Got a big weekend. So, and then we'll have a review show coming out following that. So stay tuned for that as well. I knew I was forgetting something. It's pretty big to forget. So
special guest, Scotty Rock.
Yes, we had a special guest joining us. Scotty joined us on our preview show that's going to be coming out. And we're going to have another special guest on our review show. So make sure you check those out. But like I said, we appreciate you guys for sticking with us. Tune in for that, and we'll see you guys then and next week as well. You guys have a good weekend. It's going to be a big weekend, WrestleMania weekend.
WrestleMania.
It's a big one. So thanks, guys, for listening, and we'll catch you guys down the road.
Have a good week.
See you guys.